All right, slip that in your Bibles and pray as the Lord gives you opportunity throughout the week to intercede for others and to call on His name. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we're back, and so we want to turn there to 1 Peter chapter 1 as He is revealing to us some of the blessings that are ours in Christ. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 tonight as Peter writes to those who are pilgrims in the world. He's writing to us, realizing the privileged position. We saw that last week, being chosen by God, being set apart for sanctification by the Spirit of God so that we might obey the Lord Jesus Christ, sprinkled by His blood, and set apart to be God's people, and we should live that way. But the blessings aren't just that new relationship that we have. Notice what he says here in verses 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away and reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through salvation, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Father, help us to realize tonight our hope is tied to you. Our help's tied to you, Lord. Lord, thank you tonight that you're ours and we're yours. And Father, may we recognize the blessings that have come because Jesus has defeated death, our great enemy. Jesus has set us free from sin. And Father, He's given us a living hope to look forward to, Lord God. And that's not just when we go to heaven, that's now. And so, Father, remind us of these things tonight so that each day that we live, we will sing, we will celebrate all the blessings that are ours in Christ. We ask these things tonight in His powerful and precious name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord tonight. We've got hope. We've got a living hope. Paul would say it's a blessed hope. Beloved, Jesus rose from the dead. And that is what gives us the assurance that one day we will rise from the dead. And then what? That's the question. What is after this world? I mean, Miss Darlene shared about someone who doesn't think there was much after this world. The reality is there's only one of two destinations, heaven or hell. There's only two options. There's only two places that all of mankind will reside in. One hell was made for the devil and his angels, Jesus said over Matthew 25. It wasn't his intention to put his image in the fiery furnace. But if they reject this work that Christ has done, that's the destiny. That's the consequences of unbelief. But Peter says here there's a blessing for us. It is a blessed state that we're in. And we should bless God, our Father. Now stop and think about that. He once wasn't our Father in that sense. We were the spawn of Satan, some would say, right? Ephesians chapter 2, we were sons of darkness. We were sons of the devil. We were under the influence of the spirit of this world. We were in darkness, and all we had the expectation of, Paul would say here in Ephesians chapter 2, was doom. But praise God, something changed that. And what changed that? We've been born again. We have been begotten. That means a new birth experience. How did that happen? Well, he'll say over in chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1, that happened according to the seed, the word of God that was planted in our heart, that we were saved, as it says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We heard the word, the gospel, the good news. The bad news was we had no hope. The good news is God offered us hope. How? Because Jesus came and defeated sin at the cross. He defeated Satan and He's defeated death when He rose from the dead. And because of all that, now, beloved, we can be born again. And that's a blessed position to be in. That's why I said when we came in, don't forget whose we are and what He has done for us. Live in the reality, the understanding that what Christ has done has lasting significance. It's not just something that happened in the past and I made a decision and it doesn't change my outlook or my daily living. It does. It changes my daily living. It changes my outlook in life. It changes my direction, the course that I'm on. It should change every aspect of our lives. because we realize whose we are now and what Christ has done. How did God do that? Why did God do it? Well, according to his mercy. Paul would say the same thing. You put that in the margin of your Bible, Ephesians 2:4. You know, we were in a doomed state, a desperate state. We were in a destructive state. We had no hope. But God, who was rich in mercy, did something. Do you know everything that God does that blesses us starts with his mercy? It's his mercies. Not giving us what we deserve. God is so merciful. He's not a God to squash us sinners, you know? A lot of times people have that view of him. No, he's a very merciful God. He has held back that judgment that we deserve. Why is he so long-suffering? Why does he hold that back? Peter would say it over in chapter 3 of his second epistle. You know, the reason God is so patient with us, so long-suffering, is because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want people to perish. He wants them to come to repentance. That's why we pray for that. We pray earnestly. God, open people's eyes and help them to see they need to repent. Praise God, someone told me that. Praise God, I had a mama who told me, you're going the wrong direction, turn around and go in the right direction. Man, praise the Lord. A mama who told me the truth. And I'm grateful. I didn't necessarily want to hear it all the time she was telling me. Can I be honest? Why? Because in my flesh, I love sin. I love myself. But I'm glad she loved me more than that to tell me the truth. And so I heard the good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And his death paid the penalty I deserved, and that through repentance and faith I could be saved. And so by God's mercy, now we've been born again, and we've been born again to a living hope. That one day, beloved, we're putting on new flesh. Because if he rose from the dead, and our identity is in him, we're going to rise one day too. Paul would say this over in Ephesians chapter 1, that really for the believer, it's already an accomplished feat. It's already established that we're actually seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Because of our identity in him, where he is, we will be. And in a sense, while you're seated right here in these pews, one day, actually, we're also already there in a way. Because he's assured that for us. In fact, the blessing isn't just that he's now our God. He is our Father. He's the one that we have this relationship with as his family, a family relationship. And as I said Sunday night, just that point when you stop and think about as his children what he's done for us, that we can come to our Father and he's good and ask things of him because he's a gracious giver and a forgiver. Well, praise God for that tonight. But he's not just our God. He's also given us a goal, a direction we're going to. He's born us again. He's begotten us again to a living hope. And that heads to something. We have a destiny. We are going to receive this inheritance. Now, you know, my parents are still alive, praise the Lord. And I've not received an inheritance from them. But I know they've set things aside. At some point when they pass, they'll pass that along. I don't want them to pass anytime soon. I'm grateful for them. But you understand what an inheritance is. It's something that we're going to receive at some point. But what we're going to receive is so far superior, so much greater than any inheritance you receive here. The stuff we receive here is just temporal. It doesn't last. But what he's going to give us, these descriptive words he uses, it's pretty amazing. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It does not fade away. It is reserved or protected for us in heaven. What is the significance of all that? Well, when you compare the eternal riches that await us in Christ and what God has for us, and you compare it to the things of this world, when it says it's incorruptible, it means, listen, it's not like the stuff that we inherit down here that breaks down at some point. It never will. It's not like the stuff down here that becomes defiled, stained in some way. It's undefiled. It's not like the stuff down here that over time, you know, it fades away. Its lasting significance is gone. No. What we have, our inheritance, can't be ruined. It can't be destroyed. It will never wear away, never require repair. Praise God. It's waiting for us, reserved for us. In other words, the picture is God has it under lock and key. guarded, protected by Him. It's in His hands, secure, and God holds it for us. It's reserved in heaven. So think about this. Not only has God secured us for heaven, He's secured something in heaven for us. We got both sides covered by our Father. Well, we should be thankful for that. And does that not change my outlook about the things that I'm living for, the things that I'm longing for, the things that really should enrapture my soul? Beloved, listen, the things on this world will never bring us paradise, okay? Paradise is with Him on the other side. And that's what we're looking for and living for. Now, he also says this. There's a guarantee that this is going to happen. Notice what he says. We are kept, verse 5, by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I thought we'd already gotten salvation. Well, we have this view of salvation that it's something that happens when we make a decision for Christ. I got saved. Well, a more biblical understanding is realizing that, you know what, we got saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. We got saved, we repented of our sins and placed our faith and trust in Christ. God justified us and treats us just as if we've never sinned. Praise God, we came to our senses and realized, we came to the knowledge of the truth and repented as the Spirit wooed us and helped us to realize God's love. Yeah, amen, we got saved. But we are being saved right now. It's called sanctification. Peter will emphasize this even in here in his epistle later in this chapter when he'll emphasize, listen, you know, as God has called you as holy, be holy, right? We should be like Him, being sanctified and cleansed. This whole epistle is about the way we conduct ourselves, the way we live our lives. And we should realize as pilgrims, we don't no longer live like the world. They should be shocked and surprised that we don't run along with them and do the things we once used to do because our life has been changed. I'm being saved. The Spirit of God is saving me, is sanctifying me in that sense, and we will be saved. There's a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. When's that? When we're glorified. And that work of salvation is complete. And beloved, we get glorified bodies, and that's something we anticipate and look forward to. That's a more holistic understanding of salvation in the Bible, a past reality tied to only what Christ has done. The sanctification that's taken place right now, that's a good evidence that that has happened in my life and I've repented and put my faith in Him, because you're seeing that worked out. That nothing that we do saves us. It's the Spirit working in us. But ultimately, that will be completed when Christ returns and we get glorified bodies. I see, that's a guarantee. It's going to happen. God is going to do that. We're kept by His power through faith for that salvation. And it's ready to be revealed. In other words, the moment He says, "Son, go get my children," Jesus is coming like that. A trumpet's going to sound, and that's it. And praise God, we're going up. And we should live for that each and every day. By the way, He'll say that over in this epistle, you know, in chapter 5. He'll talk about, you know, looking for the great shepherd the chief shepherd that's going to appear. And that chief shepherd is going to appear in the skies. We should be looking for that. The skies are going to roll back and He's going to appear one day. And we should live for that and look forward to that. And He's going to give us a crown. And He's going to reward, listen, He's going to reward our faith and our faithfulness. And we look forward to that. That reward isn't anything we've done or we deserve. Salvation is the gift of God. It's through faith. It's His gracious gift to us. But if you really have experienced it, then your life should reflect that. And the assurance of what awaits us on the other side should motivate us to continue to be steadfast and to be faithful pilgrims as we march through earth. Now listen, we should live like this. We're not trudging through the slop of the world. I hope we get there. No, no, no. We should be triumphant. We should realize what's been accomplished by Christ. We should walk like we're the people of God and live like we're the people of God and look forward to the hope of the people of God that we're going to be with our Father who's redeemed us and with His Son, our Savior. And we're going to live in such a way that we will never regret the decision that we made, but we will rejoice in it for eternity. Let's live like that now as the people of God. One day, beloved, He's coming. Let's be ready. Amen. Amen. Father, thank You for the hope that You've given us. Thank You for the glory that awaits us. Thank You, Father, that all of this is secure. It's yea and amen in Jesus. It's kept by Your power, not our own strength. I just thank You tonight, Lord, that there is something good that awaits us. Lord, You gave us that picture in the Old Testament when You marched Your people through the wilderness right to the edge of the promised land and told them to go in through faith. God, may we be such people that don't shirk back, Lord, in unbelief, but we press forward for the prize, for the upward call of that You have on our lives. Lord, let us live that way. And Lord, may it be a witness to the world around us, Lord, and may it seem strange to them what we believe and the hope of who we believe in and what He's given us as a blessed hope, a living hope. God, may it even inspire them, perhaps, to say, I wish I could have faith like You. And may we take that opportunity to point them to Jesus and ask them, remind them, hey, call on Him. Because whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, thank You tonight again for making us such people. Lord, I pray for everyone before me. Show them Your favor, God. May it rest upon them and may they rise up and rejoice each day that they belong to You. We love You and we praise You and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.